B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Do a complete 180 on his Gabe takes over the course of his vacation. Went from calling him incompetent and not deserving of a managerial job to not only giving him 10% of the blame. I'm somewhere in the middle. Ryan, that wasn't me, brother.
No, that was not you.
No, look.
You poke fun at Gabe.
Yeah. Look, I had a period in my life where I would blame the coach for everything. I did. And I was like, you know, the coach has got to get his team ready to play. They got to be coming out of that locker room ready to tear the door off. But after I swung and missed on Doug Peterson the way I did, I was so critical of Doug because I just didn't see it. And it was an epiphany for me. It's not the coach or the manager in baseball that should be in charge of getting players ready to play. They're professional athletes. By the time you get to the big leagues, think about these players, most of them, what they went through to get there, the development, playing the sport essentially their whole life, and they get there. And now you got to teach them how to be a gamer? What are you kidding?
Yeah, a lot of
those
times,
professional athlete.
You're working one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get noticed playing in games, but you do your work one-on-one in a batting cage or wherever, at the gym if you're playing basketball, or just working out if you're playing football. Yep. And doing some one-on-one drills. You get noticed during the game.
Yeah.
But you do all your work off the field.
Well, and the other thing is like the guy said, would they run through a wall for Gabe? Or they would run through a wall for Charlie. Do you want, like, a Remember the Titans speech before 162 games? Is that going to be effective? Like, I don't understand that philosophy that it's the coach or manager's job to get everybody fired up to come out of the dugout for that first inning and be ready to tear the life out of them.
You don't think Charlie's going to get everybody to wake up at 4 in the morning and run to Gettysburg?
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's if you played sports, you got to get yourself ready to play. It's not the coach's job. Now, there's situations in big games, like a Game 7, where you give that speech. You give the, you know, we'll storm the castle speech. You do all that.
Start playing with some job.
Yeah, all that stuff. But you can't do that 162 times a year. You can't do that 82 times a year in the NBA and NHL. You can't do it 16.
No, coaching football, they tune you out.
Yeah, it becomes just noise. And you look like an idiot. So, to me, I didn't do a 180 on Gabe. I said he's got a piece of the blame. He gets a piece of the blame. But look, it's easy to say we want a body all the time. You know, we want to put, like in The Unforgiven, we want to put Ned on the front of the bar as you walk in a coffin. We want to have a body to show for the failure.
Yeah.
But I'm just asking people to think about it. With what this GM and this scouting staff have given Gabe, who's the manager that's going to win with this team?
Well, right now we do have a body, and it's the hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if that changes things. Let's see if Charlie can actually make a change. Again, I don't want to be a wet blanket. I don't know how much Charlie Manuel changes for the team in the next 43 games. Maybe he changes a few things. Maybe Realmuto does swing 2-0 next time.
Yeah.
But there's only 43 games left.
Yeah.
They have so much information already plugged into their brain from spring training, or for the guys that were here last year, like Scott Kingery.
Yep.
They already have so much that I don't think Charlie Manuel could just erase. They don't have the thing from Men in Black.
Yeah, you can't just delete the hard drive and start over. It's not going to work that way. So, but if they do improve, Charlie gets all the credit. And if they don't, Gabe continues to get all the blame. But to me, it's a lot of misplaced blame because I can't judge Gabe fully yet. And again, he has not been perfect. He has not been great. He's made mistakes. But I can't say lop off his head when the starting pitching staff is what Matt Klentak gave him. The fact that he lost McCutchen because now you don't have a leadoff hitter or center fielder. When you have this bullpen and Robertson, who hasn't been available at all. Like, what manager is going to overcome all of that? None.
Eh. There could be a few.
You can't overcome that much. You can't overcome a pitching staff that's got Nola.
Yeah, we got Nola.
I'll leave it there, okay? You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia. We're a Beasley Media Group station. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Calvin in West Philly's on The Fanatic. What's up, Cal?
Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, I forget the other guy's name. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Joe.
Hey, Joe, I didn't mean to be rude. Hey, listen, I don't pretend like that I'm a baseball guru and I know as much information as the other fellows that call. But I get everything that I get from listening to you guys. And I think what Middleton did is the equivalent to like having a wife that doesn't cook really well, and at Thanksgiving you invite your mother over who cooks very well, and she's there just to chop vegetables. I mean, he basically brought this guy in. He's a winner. These guys haven't seen a lot of winning going on. And I think with Charlie in the dugout, man, just him being there and giving the little wisdom that he has, or a lot of wisdom that he has, I think you're going to see a big difference in these guys hitting the ball. And I think if he comes in and they start whacking this ball out of the park, I mean, we can win 10-8, 10-9 every night and make the playoffs. But if these
September, Cal, that's not September baseball. In September, it starts to bear down. You got to win tight games when you're in a playoff race. And when you get into the playoffs, you got to win tight games.
I know, but we don't have the pitchers for that. I'm just making a point to you that a lot of the games that we lost, man, we didn't have to lose by 4 or 5 runs. Like, Gabe made some little simple mistakes, and then you compound that with the guys not hitting the ball. Look how many people we leave on base. You know, you can win 5-4 every night. Okay, so we'll win 3-2. But at least we're hitting. We're getting smoked sometimes. 6-0, 7-1.
Well, the other thing too, Cal, and with this is when your starting pitching goes out there and gets shellacked right away, and you know you got to score 8 runs to win, that puts an undue pressure on you at the plate as well. You're trying to get back into a game with one swing of the bat all the time, and not approach.
Doesn't it come down to managing? Like, what's wrong with it?
No, that's Klentak giving him crap on the mound to start a game. So you got to, if you know that Smiley's going to go out there and he's going to give up 6 runs and you got to score 7 or more, then like your approach to the game is different.
So why can't we go to small ball? Like, why can't he make the adjustment during the game?
That's not what they're going to do. They don't play small ball.
Bunting is dead.
Yeah, small ball doesn't happen in baseball anymore. The analytics say that's bad, Cal.
Well, I get that, but I'm talking about once we get in a jam, what's wrong with getting a guy on, making him steal, bunt the ball?
You know, like, they're
already down.
Calvin, they tried that yesterday, and Kingery made a bad mistake and didn't run to third base, and then they caught in the rundown, and then the inning's over. Well, not the inning was over, because Roman Quinn saved the day and hit a triple.
But that's not something they're going to do regularly.
No,
they're
even when they tried doing the small ball, they didn't do it right.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, like, you know, Cal brings up Charlie's going to be there and he's going to have a lot of influence. I'll be interested to see how much influence he does have. Because Charlie does, you can't overstep the manager. Like, Gabe's still the manager. You know what I mean? And Charlie's the hitting coach.
Yeah, but Gabe's got to listen.
Okay.
There's no way Charlie Manuel takes
that
job.
That's why this is a tough situation.
To once again, how many times have we called Gabe a puppet and John Maley a puppet and Chris Young a puppet? We've all called them puppets of the organization. Charlie Manuel's not taking that job to be a puppet. Manuel's taking that job because he wants to have some say in things.
Yeah, I think that Jason Stark even said that yesterday, that he has full autonomy. But he's still not the manager.
He's not the hitting coach.
He's the hitting coach.
Yeah, but he can have some say in things. Like, we don't... I looked up his numbers in his career. I looked up Gabe Kapler, right? Gabe Kapler had his best numbers swinging on the first pitch in his career. His best numbers were swinging first pitch. So you think he just forgot, once he became a manager, that swing at the first pitch isn't a good thing?
Well, here's the deal, though. The analytics don't play that out, and he's beholden to analytics now, as that's become evolved more and more.
But maybe Charlie opens his mind a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, and maybe he opens some batters' minds, like you brought up that 2-0 pitch to Realmuto.
Yes, and I brought this up yesterday. Listen to how ridiculous this is for Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, when putting the ball in play on the first pitch this season, and he did it 65 times this year.
He's probably batting 400, right?
446.
Yeah.
It went down last night because he grounded out in the first pitch. Bryce Harper, when putting the ball in play on a 3-2 count or if he struck out, is hitting .075.
Yeah.
So, okay. Going back to the beginning of baseball, for the most part, the best pitch you're going to see is the first pitch when it's a fastball down the pipe.
Because it's the most important pitch in baseball.
Yeah, fastball down the pipe for the first pitch. A lot of times. Now, things have changed. A lot of times you see guys throw get-me-over curveballs, get-me-over sliders. Things have changed. But if the number is right there that on the first pitch of an at-bat, Bryce Harper is hitting .446, and on a 3-2 count, he's hitting .075, is that analytics? Is that crazy?
That's common
numbers.
Sense.
It's like, okay, dude, you're hitting better on the first pitch because they're giving you fastballs because they know that you and Reese Hoskins and a lot of other guys in this lineup are up there trying to work counts. And you guys working counts, it worked yesterday because the pitcher only went 6 innings, but he struck you out 14 times.
Yeah. Well, you got to look at it And look, then you start swinging at the first pitch until they adjust, and then you adjust. That's what baseball is.
Yes.
It's constant adjustment. The pitcher adjusting the hitters and figuring them out and trying to keep everybody off balance.
Going back to 08.
Yeah.
And this goes back to Matt Klentak not being correct when he said the philosophies are the same about working counts and all that.
No.
Jimmy Rollins got killed for swinging early in the count. Chase Utley used to swing early in the count. Ryan Howard did his best damage swinging early in the count. And as they continue to go on, things change. They pitch to them differently. And then you saw them try to figure out hitting later in the count.
Yep.
It changes all the time.
Yep.
But right now, clearly the numbers state that when Bryce Harper swings first pitch, he's doing far better than a 3-2 count.
Well, the other part of it, too, is also the philosophy at the plate when you're deep in a count, where you're going, I still got to maintain my launch angle, not just get the bat on the ball and put it in play and see what happens. That's what Charlie did in 08. That team would shorten their swing.
Yes.
They get the bat on the ball. Okay, strike out. We're going to strike out. That's the philosophy now. We're either going to hit it out or we're going to strike out. And that's not working.
I'm not asking you to do the Polanco choke up on the bat 3 inches up the bat. I'm not asking you to do that. But, yeah, you got to change your approach when you have two strikes on you.
610-632-0975. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly. He is down in Jacksonville in advance of the game coming up tomorrow night, preseason game number 2. Doesn't appear we'll see Nick Foles in that game and perhaps not see Carson Wentz in that game as well. Do you agree with that decision, maybe to not play Wentz in week 2? And if that's the case, do you just sit him out week 3? Do we just wait to see him in week 1 coming up, what, on September 9th against the Washington Redskins at Lincoln Financial Field? He's coming off an injury. I'd like to see him a little bit, but I get your point. If the offensive line, if there's one starter on the offensive line that's playing, and you're going to put him behind that, I don't love that situation.
No.
Got to look at it. Maybe get him in there. You see if the protection's good, and that determines how long you leave him in. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. We've got a couple open lines if you want to grab them. We've been talking about the Charlie Manuel situation coming back as the hitting coach of the Philadelphia Phillies. Gabe Kapler, the amount of blame that he deserves. Again, he gets some of the blame, but to me, he does not get the bulk of it in any way, shape, or form. You got to look at the guy that delivered him this roster and this lineup and this starting rotation and this bullpen. What manager could win with this starting rotation? What manager could win with that bullpen? What manager could win with no center fielder and leadoff guy? I mean, come on. We gotta really like look at this and go, it's easy to just point the finger at Gabe and give him all the blame in the world. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's made mistakes, no doubt. I'm not denying that. But I'm not giving him the bulk of the blame. No way. 610-632-0975. I got to tell you about Window Nation because the intense summer heat, it has been back, and it's causing your old leaky windows to produce unnecessary high energy bills and also allows damaging UV rays to fade your valuables and making your windows even less effective. Well, here, listen up. The kids are at camp maybe for another week or so before school starts, maybe another vacation. Well, my trusted friends at Window Nation, no vacation there. They're the ones with more than 80,000 satisfied customers, including me, and an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating. Well, they got extra capacity right now and have to keep the factory busy and the installers working. So for the first time ever, you can get one free window for every one you buy. Now, there's no minimum or maximum purchase required on all styles of windows, plus no down payment, no payment of any kind, and no interest for 2 full years, 24 months. So buy now, start saving now, and literally pay nothing for 2 years. Trust the window company I trust. Visit windownation.com or give them a call at 866-90-NATION, and you get your one free window for every window you buy. Plus, again, no down payment, no payments of any kind, and no interest for 24 months. Call them, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It is the midday show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Derek Gunn going to join us momentarily from Jacksonville. Eagles, Jags tomorrow night. in preseason week number two. First road game. They'll be back here for week number three against Baltimore, and then they'll wrap up the preseason in a couple weeks against the New York Jets, and then the regular season will be upon us finally. We can't wait. By the way, also coming up just, what is it, like 10 days from now?
Yeah, 10 days, August 24th.
Oh, how about that? And I heard the announcement that DeSean Jackson, courtesy of FanDuel, is going to be at FanFest. So DeSean Jackson will be there. Tobias Harris will be there. Allen Iverson will be there, and hopefully you'll be there as well, everybody listening. And it's going to be a great event coming up on August 24th, 1 to 5 p.m. We still have some tickets we'll be giving away. And like I mentioned, AI going to be hanging out, MVP, NBA MVP, Hall of Famer. And he's appearing courtesy of Time After Time Watches. Time After Time keeps Philly ticking. And it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, somebody's going to have a chance to win a trip for Ford Disney's NBA Experience, where we were on Monday doing the program from. So if you love the game of basketball, now's the time to live it. Take your shot at the all-new NBA Experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. Two ways to enter. Go to our website, 975thefanatic.com, or go to the contest page. Enter there. And also at FanFest on-site, there'll be a register to win area there. So make sure you check that out. The place was outrageous.
Yeah, I haven't been able to ask you about that. Oh, so what was it like? Because I know it used to be like that arcade area or something like that, and I think they just transferred into, what is it, a big gym? Like, what is it?
No, it's a whole thing. Like, have you ever been to the NFL Experience or any of those, like ESPN end zones or whatever? It's just totally interactive.
The ESPN zone, yeah, I've been to one of those.
And just tons of stuff to do and, you know, get these, like, virtual videos, like with Adam Silver. All these different, you know, places to shoot threes, do the whole thing. It's a lot of fun. It's really cool. And, you know, for any NBA fan, and the store there, too, the merchandise store is incredible. So you got to get down there and check it out. And, of course, coming up at FanFest, you'll have a chance to win that trip for four to Disney's NBA Experience. It was really cool down there. We had a good time.
Speaking of Adam Silver, Michael Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. plays in the NBA. Remember, he missed his first season. He had the injury.
Yep.
So I guess Adam Silver was having some sort of presentation to a lot of the players in the league, and Michael Porter Jr. put a photo of it on Snapchat. And on the photo, it shows Adam Silver on a stage, but behind is a screen, and that screen has his email, his office number, which is public, I think.
Yeah.
And his cell phone number.
Oh, my goodness.
So people were texting Adam Silver yesterday.
Oh.
And one guy texted him. He goes, hey, I saw your number. Maybe you should tell Michael Porter Jr. he shouldn't put it public. And he goes, I know. Thanks. So Adam Silver has to get his number changed now.
Oh, now he's going to have to send a thing out to all his contacts. Here's my new number. And do the whole thing. Oh, geez, that's brutal. 610-632-0975.
Awesome.
Real quick, too, before we get to Derek Gunn coming up in just a few moments from Jacksonville. I got a thing. I got to bring this up because we created the United Nations of Eagles Fans Facebook group page. My wife tells me the Facebook group page is like all the rage, right? And we've got a ton of people on it already. All over the world. Charter chapter members, over 1,200 people on the page.
They also have Brent Celek a part of it, too.
Brent Celek's on the page, absolutely. He's part of the United Nations of Eagles Fans. And if you just go on Facebook and search United Nations of Eagles Fans, you'll find it, put in a request, I'll approve it to get in. And I'm happy to report a couple of things. First and foremost, we've had no infiltration. No infiltrators of Cowboy fans trying to infiltrate the site, and then I got to ban them. No Giants fans, no fans of any other teams trying to, you know, come in and be a rogue agent and work through the United Nations of Eagles Fans. All charter chapter members, and they're doing a great job. Everybody's posting their pictures of their jerseys, hats, memorabilia videos when the Eagles won, all kinds of great stuff. So thanks to everybody that's gone onto the site already and checked it out and been posting and conversing and all that. But I have one issue I got to bring up because somebody had posted something about FanFest, and I won't use the guy's name, but he was just like, I'd rather do something to himself to give himself pleasure than go to FanFest. And it was a little over the line.
What?
Right?
Come on.
And I just said, classy. So the guy got really combative.
Is this a child?
No, he's an adult.
This is an adult.
And I clicked on his profile. He's kids and everything. I'm not going to use his name. But he was really combative on there, like calling people, like, dude, you're a nerd. You're wearing a jersey. Now, it's a fan page for a team, and last I checked, a lot of grown adults wear jerseys to games. And just, like, being he actually challenged me to a fight.
Oh, really?
I was like, dude, no, would you want to meet after gym class? You know what I mean?
And his profile picture's his kids. And I love that.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, if you could, you don't put that stuff on social media. You got kids and like, and especially like Facebook, you can't be anonymous. It's who you are, you know, and like, you know, you say like, well, we'll meet up and we'll see who's a keyboard tough guy. I'm like, what, like, are we going to meet after gym class and like have a fight and like wrestle each other? Like, I stopped doing that when I was like 25, like going with that mentality. Like, sorry, dude, I'm not going to come over and like, we're going to fight. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an adult now. Like, I'm not going to do that. He'd probably like, well, you're scared, whatever. But that's not the point. So my question is, and this is to the United Nations of Eagles fans, just people in general and social media etiquette. Should I ban the guy from the page?
Yes.
Now, he is an Eagle fan.
Yes.
He's got pictures, you know, with him at games and everything like that, like wearing a sweatshirt. But should I ban him from the page? Because he's like being a jerk to people. Like, I want the site to be, you know, Eagle fans and be cool with each other. Now, we can debate things when the season begins. Like, oh, they got to bench Carson because of this. Or, you know, there's going to be things to complain about. And you have healthy debate. But when you're in there just like poking people and doing those kind of things, is that something I should ban a guy out of the site for?
Well, quite frankly, he's being a J.O.
Well, he told me to mind my own business, too. And I said, well,
it's your page.
Kind of, it is my business because I created the page and I'm the admin, so I can boot you. But I haven't done anything yet. Again, I won't use his name, but should I ban the guy from the page?
Yeah, I'm out on this guy.
Like, because I just don't want him in there. Like, he's calling other people nerds for wearing Eagle jerseys. Like, dude, it's a Facebook page for Eagle fans. You know what I mean?
Every group fan page. Base, like, fans wear their respective jerseys.
Yeah.
It's not just an Eagles Philadelphia thing.
I wore a jersey a couple weeks ago. I wore my Deshaun jersey.
Yes, you
the
did.
Kelly Green one. You know, like, should I ban the guy? I don't know what I'm asking. Because look, I don't.
He's trying to start fights with his fellow people.
Well, I know, and I don't want to start like I don't want to have a divisive figure in there infecting the group. You know, and while I created the page and you and I are the admins on the page, I don't want it to be a dictatorship either. I need the people to weigh in the United Nations of Eagle fans, and tell me what we should do. This is a collective decision. It's not just my decision. I could have just banned him and moved on. And maybe that's probably what some people are going to say. So, you know, what should I do?
It's one thing if you're busting balls. It's the other thing if you're being a total J.O. about it.
Yeah, and I just, like, I responded to his initial thing. I said, classy. That's all I said. And he said, oh, coming from you. And I said, oh, that's, you know, all right, keyboard warrior, whatever. And he said, why don't we meet up and we can handle this like men?
Come on, dude.
What, like kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we'll wrestle after gym class? I mean, like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a bit Neanderthal.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on this guy.
Yeah, so, all right, so you say get rid of him.
It's probably my dad.
All right, it's not your dad. So you say get rid of him, right?
Yes.
All right, so I need the United Nations of Eagle fans to weigh in at 610-632-0975. I want to know what to do. You know? Do I just boot him? T. Will says on Twitter, he goes, as Harry used to say, get out, get out. Tony Baloney tweets in and says, I'm on the page. I say, ban his ass. Get out, get out. So, hey, it's up to the people, though. I'm not gonna rule like a dictator. This is not my page. I created the page, and I'm the admin, but it's the fans' page. It's the United Nations of Eagles fans. We got guys from Greece checking in. We got guys all over the world. On this page, we got former Eagle Brent Celek on the page. It's like if Brent wears a jersey to a game for a coin toss, is he going to get ridiculed by this guy?
Probably. He'll call him a nerd. I want to see him go up against Brent.
All right, let's head to Jacksonville. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the crux of that issue coming up. But we got to talk to the man right now. He's down in Jacksonville. He got the chance to spend a little time with Nick Foles, Super Bowl hero, Philly himself. And he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline right now, Derek Gunn from NBC Sports Philly. You see him on Quick Slants and all the coverage for Eagles. And right now he joins us. Derek, how you doing today? How's Jacksonville?
Man, hot and humid. It's like 94% humidity down here. But I love the hot weather anyway, man.
Thank
you guys for having me on.
Man, Derek, I was just down there. Anthony and I were down in Orlando at Disney World, and I said it was like Satan's kitchen, and he left the oven open down there.
You know, that's a pretty good description. If you're not from here, it takes some getting used to be down here. You walk outside, man, and humidity just sucks the breath right out of you.
Yeah, if you wear glasses, you can't see them. They fog up immediately.
Exactly.
All right, Derek, so you've been down there for a few days. You had a chance to spend a little time with Nick Foles. How was the conversation? I know you got some good nuggets out of it about wearing the number 9 and his chances of maybe playing in the game tomorrow night. What'd you learn from Nick Foles and his time so far in Jacksonville?
Well, you know, he's happy to finally have a team of his own. He truly misses Philadelphia, the fan base, and what that organization did for him over the last couple of years. And, you know, it was funny, man. When I asked him jokingly, I said, wait a minute. I said, the punter's wearing number 9 and you're wearing number 7. How do you let the punter have your number? And he said immediately, he says, look, that number belongs to Philadelphia. It's a special number to me, but it pertains to that city. And he said, I will always have a love for Philadelphia. I will always go back and visit Philadelphia. But he said his number 7 was his favorite number for a long time. And when he came back here, it just wasn't available. So he just, he took 9 instead of 7. But 7, for some reason, has always been his favorite number. And he understands that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him here. You know, he's got the money now. People down here are looking at him as the savior of a franchise that since its inception in 1995 has been to the AFC Championship game only 3 times and has only been to the playoffs 1 time since 2007 season. So this area here is dying for a winning team, a team they can be very proud of. And he understands that. And as he did in Philadelphia, he continues to stay in the moment. He will tell anybody who listens, you have to stay in the moment. Don't look too far ahead. Take it one play at a time, the next step, and then the next step. And he says it's going to take some time to change the culture here. But he's going to keep harping on that message time and time again. And by the way, my full interview with Nick Foles will be available on our website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, coming up at noon today. So anybody who wants to listen to the full Nick Foles interview, I only got to spend 5 minutes with him because Tony Dungy was down here and he was giving the team an inspirational message in the locker room, and Nick didn't want to miss that. Had a chance to talk to Tony Dungy, had a chance to talk to Najee Good, who's down here as well. If you want to listen to the full Nick Foles interview, just go to our website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com.
What's up, D-Gun? It's Andrew here. You put out the tweet yesterday, Nick Foles will not be playing in Thursday night's game against the Eagles. We still don't know whether or not Carson Wentz will be playing, but I'm going to guess that we're not going to see Carson Wentz tomorrow night for preseason week number 2. What do you think? There's been a lot of debate whether or not Carson should participate in any of the preseason games. What's your feeling toward that? Do you think he should get his feet wet before week 1, or do you think they should just hold off and let him start week 1?
Well, you look at his injury history over the last couple of years, and I don't want to say he's injury prone, but then you fast forward to recently, and you look at the fluke injury that Nate Sudfeld had. You know, he was just bracing his fall and broke his wrist. Now he's out 6 to 8 weeks. And you look at the volumes of injuries that are happening across the board in the National Football League in preseason games, and I'm inclined to keep my frontline players out until the regular season. It has always been customary, as you guys know. You know, the starters play one series the first game, maybe a couple series or a quarter the second, into the third quarter, the third game. But I've changed my way of thinking in that regard. You know, you look at a lot of the prominent quarterbacks across the league. They either play a couple of series or in a third game, or they don't play at all until the regular season. It doesn't seem to affect them when they hit the ground running when the game counts. Now, if Carson was a first-year quarterback like you have in Arizona, or a young second-year quarterback like you have in Baltimore, okay, you give him some substantial reps. But Carson knows his offense inside and out. He's played with a lot of the weapons, and you couple that with the fact Lane Johnson is shut down till the regular season. Brandon Brooks is still rehabbing from the Achilles. Jason Peters is still working through some things. He only practices about 60% of the snaps. If your frontline guys are not out there, why in the world would I put my franchise quarterback out there? So, no, I would say keep Carson Wentz, wrap him up, storm in a vault until September 8th.
Yeah, just let him in that controlled environment of practice, work out his kinks there, and the chemistry that he's going to have to develop with guys like DeSean Jackson. Hey, Derek, do you get the sense that the team is of that same thinking, too? That Doug Peterson is of that same thinking? He hasn't been definitive
absolutely
about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you might get a few guys like a Malik Jackson who may get to play a few more reps just to get acclimated to what Jim Schwartz is doing. And then, you know, you look at the defensive side as well. I mean, you know, three of your frontline cornerbacks are nicked up. You know, a couple of them are still rehabbing. One got injured in training camp. So, I think you would have to think that way. You're already thin at linebacker as it is. Zach Brown has been relatively quiet. Nate Gary, I don't know what he is or what he isn't. Paul Worlow, you know, he's been quiet throughout camp. You know, give those kind of guys more reps to get acclimated, to get up to speed. But if your frontline guy, Fletcher Cox doesn't need to play. Brandon Graham should not be playing. Vinnie Curry, you know, even though he was gone for a year, he knows what Jim Schwartz wants of him. He knows his defense inside and out. And I know it doesn't help in terms of ticket sales. You know, I was talking to a good friend of mine down here who's head of communications for the Jaguars. I've known him for 30 years. And he says, you know, when they sit in meetings with the salespeople, it's hard to sell tickets for preseason games when your frontline guys aren't playing. But what's the bigger picture? You want your guys to be ready to play when the games count. You know, throughout the course of a 16-game season, you're going to lose some significant players along the way. You just want to protect yourself against losing them before you hit the ground running when the games count.
Speaking of Derek Gunn on the Comcast Business Hotline, Derek, there was a report yesterday from John McClain, who's been covering the Houston Texans for a while now. He mentioned that he'd be surprised if Jadeveon Clowney isn't traded. And, of course, that caught a lot of the attention from Eagles fans. And he mentioned that they need an upgrade at left tackle. So a lot of people immediately think of Halapuli-Vaitai. Is there any chance that the Eagles could land Clowney? And what would it take to get Jadeveon Clowney in an Eagles uniform?
Well, even if you signed him for 1 year, what is it going to cost you, $14, $15 million? Do the Eagles have that kind of cap space right now? But I don't put anything past Howie Roseman. You know, if Howie determines that he wants this guy, and if it's a fit for what they do in Jim Schwartz's scheme, I wouldn't be surprised if Howie found a way to do it. Financially, I think that's a steep price right now. But I do believe the Eagles need a fourth DN. You know, you look at Jim Schwartz, he likes to have a four-man rotation. And I talked to Brandon Graham about this, and he seems, you know, he kind of laughed it off and said, you look at 2017, when you had a career high 9.5 sacks, you only played 63% of the snaps. But out of necessity, he played almost 74% of the snaps in 2018, and his sack total was only 4. And he doesn't think there's anything to that. But I think Brandon Graham is a fresher guy if you play him less snaps, especially in the fourth quarter. And right now, we don't know who that fourth defensive end is. You know, there's a lot of question marks. You know, when guys look good in training camp, guys look good in the preseason game. But again, you're not playing against frontline guys in a lot of cases. So if Howie deems that we could really use a frontline guy to go to a Fletcher Cox with a Tim Jernigan, a Malik Jackson, a Brandon Graham, Howie Roseman could find a way to do it. So I'd be shocked if he was able to pull it off. But again, I've said it time and time again, don't put anything past Howie.
Yeah, he's a master manipulator of the cap. He's really proven that, and he's also shown, you're exactly right, Derek, that if he's got an opportunity that he thinks can really help him, he'll swing for it. No question.
Absolutely.
Last question for Derek on NBC Sports Philly on the Comcast Business Highlight. You can check out his interview with Nick Foles coming up at noon on NBC Sports Philly's website. Derek, is there anybody on this in camp right now that we presume is going to be on this team and make the 53 that may be in danger of being cut? It happens around the NFL every year. There's a guy you go, oh my goodness, how did he get cut? We didn't see that coming. Is there a guy on the Eagles that could fit in that category? We may be shocked that he doesn't make this team.
Man, that's a tough one. I would say let's look at a Wendell Smallwood. I think he's capable of playing in this league. He's shown that he can play in this league. You know, Miles Sanders is going to be elevated as he continues to grasp the NFL concept. Corey Clement is an incumbent in terms of a backup role. They didn't bring Jordan Howard here to sit him on the bench. But how many backs are the Eagles going to keep? 4 or 5? Darren Sproles is here for a reason. So that's 4 backs right there. Now, Josh Adams fell out of grace during the playoffs last year, and he didn't help himself when he fumbled in that first preseason game. But it's just hard to get a feel on what the Eagles like in terms of that fourth or fifth back. Do they like the power back of a Josh Adams when he's between the tackles? He can keep the legs churning and pick you up the extra yard. Do they like the flashiness of a Wendell who can scat, make people miss, catch it out of the backfield, and if he gets past you, he can leave a defender in the dust? But I keep looking at his situation and wonder exactly what they think of Wendell. And who knows, they might even try to use him as trade bait to get a draft pick somewhere down the road as well. So when you put it in that regard, I would say his name jumps out first and foremost to me.
Derek, I got one more for you. Andre Dillard. 2 days in a row, it seemed like he got in a little fight at practice. I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to Dillard, and there, one of the days he got very emotional after practice. Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman had him apologize. What kind of person is Andre Dillard? Is it just the competitor in him? What's going on in practice that has made him get emotional over the last 2 days?
Well, I haven't had a chance to really get to know him. He seems like a nice guy when we've talked to him occasionally. Seems like a very soft-spoken guy, low-key kind of guy. But here's the way I view it. You're a first-round draft pick. You're trying to make a niche in the National Football League. You come into a situation, and that's the case with any first-round pick, and everybody's looking at you. You know, you have days. There are hot days out there. You make mistakes as a rookie. Coaches may get on you a little bit more. You got defensive players who are jaw-jacking with you, getting inside your head. You're hot, you're tired, and all of a sudden the emotions take over. And that's where Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman jump in and say, hey, look, these things happen, but you can't make it personal. And that's why he called both Derek Barnett and Dillard together and had them shake hands. Barnett understands that he's been here a little bit longer than a Dillard. But I think it boils down to frustrations. You know, when you go from being a big man on a college campus to now you're a big man in terms of where you're drafted, but you're small fish in a big pond in the professional ranks. You've got to learn your way. You've got to earn your way. And it doesn't come without stumbling along the way. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have frustrations. But the good thing for Andre Dillard, he's learning from one of the best to ever play that position on the left side in Jason Peters. You've got other veterans like Elaine Johnson and a big V you could actually lean on to help you get through tough times. So it's a part of the growing process, not just physically, but mentally as well as a professional athlete.
Yeah, very well said. Hey, Derek, we'll be checking out that interview with Nick Foles on the NBC Sports Philly website. We'll be watching on Quick Slants and all the Eagles coverage. We appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Always a pleasure, man. And tell everybody out there, don't forget, check us out, Eagles Pregame Live, 6 to 7 tomorrow on NBC Sports Philadelphia, our Plus channel, 6 to 7 tomorrow. You know who's there. Michael's there, Seth, Ray, Barrett, myself, Ruben Frank, John Clark, all the latest information you could want before the Eagles kick off against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We'll be watching, man. Appreciate it, Derek.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
There he is, Derek Gunn on the NBC or the Comcast Business Hotline, NBC Sports Philly. Great to hear. Great stuff from him, as always. 610-632-0975. Let's load up the phone lines. I got to know what to do with this guy on the United Nations of Eagles Fans Facebook group page.
He's got to go.
I got a lot of responses on Twitter, a lot of responses on the page, and it's got to be civil conversation. That's what we're looking for. We don't need a divided fan base. 610-632-0975. Jason Martinez here to tell you about the Rothenberg Law Firm now, sports radio hosts and sports fans. We talk about our great Philly teams, our players, their stats, and every sports fan knows how important stats are. They measure success and figuring out what's working, sometimes what's not working. Well, when I saw the stats of the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Sure, I've known that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. So listen to these stats. Did you know that they've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years? Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. Now, you don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. The stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, make the call. Call the Rothenberg Law Firm. And this to be true, they're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number, 800-624-8888. That's 800-624-8888. Or you can always visit their website at injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic
is the midday show. Andrew Salchin is in for Anthony. Anthony, still down in Florida for the rest of the week. I'll be back next week. as we get closer and closer to fall football. Sixers schedule's out.
Today he, felt like that weather.
Yeah, he was in a lather about that Sixers schedule off the air. He was so pumped
up. Yeah.
He couldn't stop reaching out to people to get nuggets on the schedule. He was going crazy.
Yeah, I pissed the fiance off already.
Yeah.
Because the night of the wedding, the Sixers play the Pacers at home at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I said, would you mind if I just left?
Oh, yeah.
And went to the Sixers game?
Stay there.
She didn't take that too kindly.
Yeah. All right, so let me just rehash this real quick, because on the United Nations of Eagles fans, there was a post, and Rodney is on the line from D.C. He's the one that actually put the initial post up. And he just said, who's going to 97.5 The Fanatic Fan Fest? People are like, oh, I'm going. I got tickets, blah, blah, blah. I'm still trying to get tickets, whatever. And this one guy just says he'd basically rather pleasure himself than go. So, in not such clean language. And I just said, classy. And he said, that's funny coming for you. And we went back and forth. I said, and he's telling me that he's got more class than me to beat it. I'm a nerd, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm just basically saying it sounds like the way you act. You know, you got a picture on with him and his kids. You know, that's like, you know,
yeah, no, that's
you
weird.
Probably don't want to set that example of being like the keyboard warrior.
I see that to people on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
They have a photo of their kids and then they'll curse you out. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're 4 year old.
Yeah. So I just said, you know, the typical like kind of keyboard warrior, you know, you can't act civil and act like an adult, but blah, blah, blah. So he basically said to me, he said, you know, if you want to meet, like, we can like settle this like men and like fight. You know,
it's great.
So I just said, you know, that's a lack of evolution.
You going to meet up with them?
Do you want to meet after gym class and whatever? And so, you know, so I'm like trying to figure out, and like somebody else chimed in and said something to him, and he's like, hey, dude, you're wearing a jersey, nerd. You know, like just being kind of like that guy, like back in like middle school, like the middle school bully type thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And like it's the United Nations of Eagles fans. United. Like, that's kind of the point. Like, we're amongst our fellow Eagle fans, not just here at the epicenter of Eagle fandom in the city of Philadelphia, but around the world. And I want it to be a good, positive experience for everybody. I don't want people like calling you a nerd for wearing an Eagle jersey.
There should be spirited debate after games.
Sure.
But you can't be calling somebody a nerd because they're wearing a jersey and they can't say what he said. You read it to me during the break just because he doesn't want to go to FanFest.
Yeah. So it's you know, whatever. He's just like insulting to everyone that responds. So I'm asking the charter chapter members how to handle the situation. And everybody's saying to ban him right now.
Hey, he's got
to
go.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. That's the number. I mean, it opens up a bigger conversation about just like conduct on social media. Like, why? I don't understand why like you would put that like for like your employer to see something like that. Like that kind of language. And I just don't get it. Like, if you're an adult with kids and, you know, you probably want to set a good example, all this stuff is like public
record.
It goes
back to that public figure that was going after you months ago.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, a guy who was a public figure, elected office in a town in New Jersey, did the same thing and was just like vile.
It's like, dude,
and I just exposed him. I just said, if you're going to put this stuff on social media, I'll just expose you, I think. And It created a big stir in that area in Belmar. So let's get to phones, 610-632-0975. Rodney in D.C., you're the one that put it up, Rod. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Jason? What's going on, Andrew? So, you know, the thing about this whole United Nations, I'm from D.C., but I live in D.C., but from Philly. And, you know, as you saw, I just wanted to figure out who from the nation that I would be able to meet, you know, and I'm like, this
yeah, you guys are congregating.
Absolutely. So when I saw, we're not going to say his name, when I saw that post, I was about to chime in, but then when I saw you say something, I was pretty impressed. But the bigger point is, as you saw the responses from the other individuals on the post, we took care of him. So I finally posted this morning, but he's got to go. I mean, we're not here for that type of
behavior. It's juvenile behaviors, essentially.
It's ridiculous. And I think he doesn't represent what this, the whole meaning of and the origin of why you decided to do this. So this guy, I'm with T. Will and everybody else. This clown's got to go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to find a reason to not do it. Like, and I don't want to just make that unilateral decision. Like, hey, you're gone, you know, like, cause the page isn't about me. It's about you. You're a United Nations of Eagle Fans charter chapter member. It's your page. It's not my page. Absolutely. But I want people to go there and have a good experience. And when you see stuff like that, I think it's a turnoff.
And not only that, you made a great point about if you
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.